sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. I want to speak tonight on the subject of how then should we dress? How then should we dress? The prophet Zephaniah was a prophet to the southern kingdom called Judah, and Israel was a divided kingdom. His ministry was just about 30 years before Jeremiah. Of course, Jeremiah was the prophet of God to Judah just before they went into captivity. By this point, God has pretty much given up on Judah. Israel had already gone into captivity some 100 years earlier to the Assyrians, and Judah, the southern kingdom, it was a divided kingdom. Israel became a divided kingdom. Israel, they called the northern kingdom Israel, the southern kingdom Judah. And God sent them prophets to try to correct them. One of them, just before Judah finally fell and God was giving up on Judah, was a prophet named Zephaniah. And of course, poor Jeroboam or Jeremiah fell on him, and Jeremiah, they just mistreated him. They threw him in prison, threw him in a dungeon, told him he's a traitor, that he was guilty of treason, and so on and so forth. And you know, all the time, he was right and they were wrong. We have a little picture here of what Judah was like just before God allowed horrific judgment upon them, and it was horrific. The king at the time, Zedekiah, when they finally did go into captivity, had all 10 of his children lined up in front of him, and every one of them was systematically killed by the Babylonians just before they took knives or fire or something and punched his eyes out. And the king of Judah was carried off into Babylon and spent the rest of his life blind, and the last thing he ever saw was all 10 of his children being slaughtered by the Babylonians. It was a horrific thing. Horrific thing. And God tried to send prophets to correct their behavior. We see part of their behavior in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 8 had to do with the way they dressed. And the Lord said, I'm going to punish you because of it. I'm going to punish your country because of the way that some of you dress. It shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of how then should we dress. And I want to make 3 points, and my first point is this: we should avoid strange clothing. We should avoid strange clothing. Our text tells us that God was going to punish all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Strange apparel in the scriptures is a product of rebellion. God hates rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When we think of witchcraft, we think of people who have turned wholeheartedly away from God and embraced Satanism for their direction. God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft in my eyes. And rebels dress in strange apparel. Some of you know that. You've lived through it. Some of you, like I, who lived through the 60s and the 70s, you can remember that the outward manifestation of our inward rebellion against authority was the strange clothing we began to wear back in those days. As women began to dress like men and men and to wear strange clothing, and it was a bizarre time. The bell bottoms, men wearing high-heeled shoes, and the silk shirts and the polka dotted shirts and just strange things. And it was an outward manifestation of our defiance against authority, our defiance against God, our defiance against our parents, our defiance against the, quote, establishment, end quote. But we must never forget that Romans chapter 13 teaches that the powers that be are ordained of God. And he that resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. It doesn't matter who the power is or who the authority is, they are ordained of God, even if we agree or disagree with them. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who the judge is. It doesn't matter who the policeman is. It doesn't matter who your father is. It doesn't matter who your mother is. It doesn't matter who your pastor is. The powers that be are ordained of God. And in the rebellion against God, which was at its zenith, which was at its pinnacle during the days of the preaching of Zephaniah and the preaching of Jeremiah, we see an insight back into Judah's living that people clothed themselves here in Zephaniah 1 and verse 8 with strange apparel. Strange apparel was their way of saying, no, we are not going to submit ourselves to God. This word strange means outlandish, alien, foreign, unknown, unfamiliar. It is the opposite of what is conservatively and societally accepted. And God will punish people who wear strange clothing. That's something. He's done it before. We ought not to wear strange clothing. Now, of course, I'm preaching tonight to you that are believers in Jesus Christ. And I know in our church here, a small church like ours, we're just like one little drop in a huge bucket of water. And our influence is so small. But we need to be right with the Lord. We ought to die trying. Oftentimes, and now keep your place in here or you'll never find it again. But go back to 1 Samuel. We'll come back to Zephaniah in just a minute. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, the scriptures says here in verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now this verse is often brought up, or half-quoted or misquoted, by those that would like pulpits and pastors to be silent about dress. And often well-meaning people will quote this verse and say, oh, it doesn't matter how you dress, because God looks upon the heart. I think a lot of you have probably heard this verse misquoted or misused in that manner. You know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And so, sometimes the last half of verse 7 is lifted from the scriptures by some people as a blanket statement that says this verse erases everything else in the Bible God says about clothing and apparel. And you'd be amazed at how much God talks about clothing and apparel in the Bible. You would be amazed at how much there is in it. I've been studying it. I can't bring a message. I can't bring out one message. I'm going to just give you 3 points tonight to ponder. But our outward appearance is important. Our outward appearance is a testimony. In fact, our outward appearance is the first message that goes forth from us. And I've heard people say, oh, it doesn't matter if, you know, a lady goes down to the beach with a bikini on and so on and so forth. If men got a problem with that, they ought to get their hearts right with God. Because God doesn't look at upon the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. Well, okay, God looking upon the heart of that lady, I wonder what he sees. Why would some lady do that? Keep verses in their context when interpreting the verse. What is the context? Go back to verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. The context is this. Saul has pretty much lost his mind by now. God has rejected him. Israel begged for a king. We want a king. We want to be just like all the other nations. Give us a king. We want a human that we can look up to. And God said, no, 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 you don't want that. All right, he's going to take your sons and daughters and make them slaves. He's going to misuse you. He's going to, no, no, we want a king. And God said, no, 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 you want me to lead your country. You want Israel to be a theocracy. You want it to be one nation under God. You don't want to have a human leader. They said, no, 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 we want a king. And so God said, okay, I'll give you a king. And God gave them Saul. Saul was a big, tall fellow. In fact, the Bible says head and shoulders, he was above everybody else. He was a real tall man. And so they anointed him as the king, and he was a pretty good king for 2 years. And then he began to lose his mind, by pride, by jealousy, and things like that. And by the 2 years, he was completely crazy. And they have to endure that for 40 years. And God said, sent Samuel, a prophet, to a man's house named Jesse. And he said, I want you to go to Jesse's house. I have rejected Saul, and I want you to ordain the next king of Israel. And so Samuel's approaching the house, and he gets with Jesse. And here comes Jesse's oldest son, Eliab. And Saul sees Eliab and says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. I want you to know what the Lord says to Samuel here. Look not on his what? Countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Is there anything mentioned in this text about clothing? Nope. Look not on his countenance. That's his face, his features, the way he carries himself, or on the height of his stature. If I said to somebody, boy, you have a cheerful countenance today, I wouldn't be saying to them, you have a nice dress on. He wasn't talking about his clothing in the context. You see that? He's talking about the countenance he had and the stature, that is the height. He said, wow, this guy's just like Saul. He's tall too. That's got to be the Lord's anointed. And what does the Lord say? Look not on his countenance or his height, because I have refused him. Because later on in chapter 17, we find that Eliab's heart is full of anger, he's contemptuous, and he's judgmental. And then, of course, you know all the sons pass by, and all the other six, and seven of them pass by, and Saul says, are these all your children? And Jesse says, no, I got one more young boy out watching the sheep. And Saul says, Samuel says, I'm not going to sit down until you bring him here. And it was David. I wanted to just show you that in that context, the verse that most people use to say God doesn't care about the way we dress has nothing to do with clothes. When it says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord upon the heart, it has nothing to do with clothes. In the context, it has to do with countenance and stature. And so, going back to Zephaniah, it turns out God does notice clothes, doesn't he? God notices clothes. And I want to encourage you as a believer to take inventory of your wardrobe, both men and women. This first point is to men and women. My second point is to men. My third point is to women tonight. This is to both of us. I want to encourage you to take stock of your outward appearance and ask yourself, do I wear anything that is outlandish, alien, foreign, unknown, unfamiliar, something that violates contemporary, conservative or societal clothing that's considered conservative. He says here, I'm going to punish those. This is when Judah was at its worst. And the people of that country, if you could go back then, you would see them wearing all kinds of strange clothing. Strange clothing is a manifestation of a country that is far away from God. Now, personally, I'm concerned today about the way people are dressing as they come to church. Let alone society. Society is crazy. Society is gone. But the way some are dressing that come to church. Some of the older people in our church, and by the way, our church, I think, has higher dress standards than most other churches that you go to. But some of the older people in our church have shared concerns with me about what they consider blatant disrespect towards the Lord in the way they dress. Ladies, do you wear strange-looking dresses, strange-looking skirts, strange-looking blouses? Do you wear strange jewelry? Do you have strange hair? Have you colored your hair strangely? Do you have jewelry on it that's just strange? Now, the important thing to think about here is your testimony. Your testimony. Could it possibly turn somebody away from the Lord? They might not understand your jewelry. They might not understand why you have 6 holes pierced in your ears. Why you've got rings on your toes and bracelets on your ankles. They might not understand that. They might think that's unbecoming of a believer. I went to a family park picnic one time with cargo pants on. One of my unsaved aunts says, isn't that unbecoming of a pastor to dress like that? Pastor Seth was telling me the other day that he was out at the fair one day. He didn't know it. He did this in ignorance, but he had a shirt. Somebody gave him a t-shirt. Collared shirt. He was out there witnessing. Little emblem up there. And a man saw the emblem that it represented a beer company. It affected his witness to that particular man. We need to watch out what kind of t-shirts we're watching, wearing, what kind of messages are on our hats, what kind of messages are on our shirts, what kind of messages are on the back of our shirts. I've seen believers walking around with shirts promoting beer companies. Strange apparel. Men are wearing their hair in strange ways nowadays. And men are getting their ears pierced. And I've done a whole study on earrings. You wouldn't believe how much information there is about the Bible, about earrings. And I believe I could take the Bible and it's been typed up. We just got to get it printed and so on and so forth. I could take the Bible and show you where men should not wear earrings and women should. But that should be in moderation for women. Because of our testimony, brethren, I can remember when I began to fall. I was an older teenager, about 17 years of age, and I tried hard. From the time I was 12 to about 17, I tried hard to serve God. I really did. I tried harder than most teenagers, and God used me and had some wonderful experiences. But I began to fall. I began to rebel against the authority of my father, the authority of our church, the authority of pastor, ultimately the authority of God, and the next thing you know, I was the one wearing bell bottoms and high heel shoes. Even to church. And as I look back at that, that was an outward expression of my inward rebellion. My inward rebellion against God ultimately, against my dad, against my pastor, against the Bible, it began to manifest itself in the strange apparel that I was wearing. Picture me in a silk shirt with a silk scarf. We used to wear silk scarves back then. Some of you remember that. It was crazy. Going to church in bell bottoms, high heels, not like you ladies, but we had high heels back then. Silk shirts, and we had these silk scarves on. I'm not kidding you. Strange stuff. And I don't know why somebody back then didn't have the guts to tell me, but nobody ever said anything in the church. But I learned later what an embarrassment I was to my father, what an embarrassment I was to the older people, and their great respect for the house of God, and what an embarrassment I was to my God. And during that season of my life, I really never led anyone to Christ. And I can remember getting right with God and rededicating my life to the Lord. I was about 21 years of age, and one of the first things, I'm not kidding you, one of the first things the Holy Ghost began to do was change the way I dressed. And the last thing to go was my long hair. And I finally became so impressed that God wanted me to work in the bus ministry. And I went up to the pastor and the new church I was going to, the pastor, I said, boy, I'd like to work in the bus ministry, and how can I help, and so on and so forth. And I'm glad he had the backbone. The first thing he said was our brother Art, you're going to have to get a haircut. You got to get a haircut. You got to look masculine if you're going to be an example to these boys and girls that you're bringing into the church. And so I got my hair cut and changed the way I dressed and so on and so forth. And now, Lord willing, I don't want to be an obstacle to one single soul on earth by the way I dress. Zephaniah 1:8. I'll punish all such as are clothed with strange apparel, because the clothing, the outward clothing, shows the condition of our hearts. And I think there's some strange things going on, and I'm not saying our church has a big problem with this. I'm just saying that I'm constantly seeing us, I believe, move away from the standards of God's Word. And anybody who thinks God doesn't mind about these things ought to read the Bible. Now, I'm not saying, I wouldn't say these things to an unsaved person. We preach wisdom to them that are perfect, the Scripture says. Those that want to go on, be complete, be mature. Unsaved people have no business listening to this. They need the gospel. They need to be saved. I don't care what they look like. Try to give them the gospel. Try to get them into the house of God. Let God clean them up. We catch the fish, he cleans them up. Turn to Matthew 11. I want to say, number two, we need to avoid soft clothing. We need to avoid soft clothing. Matthew 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I want you to notice something here. Jesus said, a man clothed in soft raiment. Is that what you thought you'd see when you'd go out to see John, the man of God, the prophet of God? A man wearing soft raiment? No. They that wear soft raiment are in king's houses. I want to encourage you today to avoid soft raiment. Turn back to Matthew 3. Matthew 3 and verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair. And a leathern girdle was about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. I mean, this was a man's man. It wasn't uncommon for men to wear leather girdles back then and camel's hair, but for some reason, God the Holy Spirit thought it was important enough for us to understand about the appearance of John the Baptist. He wanted us to make a point that that man that he said was the greatest prophet that was ever born of women dressed like a man. There was nobody that doubted his masculine characteristics. In 2 Kings 1, verse number 8, and verse 7, it says, "And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these things? And they answered him, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite." God, by the Holy Spirit, for some reason, thought it was important enough for to understand how Elijah was dressed. In a leather girdle. And that's what men wore back then. That's just how it was. But camel's hair and leather girdle. And Jesus said, if you want soft raiment, go to the king's houses. That's where people with soft raiment dress. I was looking through the Buffalo News a couple months ago. And I was turning pages in the Buffalo News, and man, I never knew I was going to preach this. See, I came across this sermon in June because I read through the Bible in the first 6 months of this year. And so I was in Zephaniah in June, and this verse just popped out at me, like, because I've seen so many strange clothes nowadays and starting to creep into the church. Strange makeup, by the way. I didn't touch on that on number one. It's just some strange makeup people are wearing nowadays. But anyways, I was reading through the newspaper one day and came across a picture and I thought, boy, she's cute. And, you know, you flip and so on. But I noticed the article and it said, soft clothing are in for men. And I looked closer and it was a man. I'm not kidding you. I wish I'd have cut it out. I didn't know I was going to preach on this. Soft clothing in for men this fall. And so help me, this guy had hair like a girl. This guy had his eyes done up with makeup. This guy had on some kind of a silk shirt and so on and so forth. And I don't know who these people think they are in the newspaper, but they're promoting a feminine appearance of men. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but men have been coached to become more and more and more and more feminine over the last 40 years. And women have been coached by society to become more and more and more and more masculine by the world. But we are not to be conformed to this world. But we are to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. As the Word of God goes into us, it ought to transform us. And we need to have more and more masculine men. And I like to see a lot of the men in our church who I believe show a masculine appearance. They're conservative in their dress. They carry themselves with a military air about them. They have a good short haircut. Now this word soft here is interesting. I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Because this word soft comes from a word that's not used but a couple times in all the Bible. I want to show you another time where the word soft is used in the Bible, only it's not translated in our King James Bible into the word soft. But in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, as I read it, when I get done, some one of you guess out loud what word you think is the word in this verse that comes from the same word Jesus used to describe soft clothing. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." What word in verse 9 do you think is the exact same Greek word that Jesus spoke about soft apparel here in verse number 9? Effeminate. Effeminate. The Lord says right here that effeminate men shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I believe, and this is my opinion from a lot of study, but I believe there's a difference between salvation an inheritance. This is talking about inheritance. I believe what it's saying here is that men who have a feminine appearance about them and a feminine air about them will not be rewarded in heaven. They will lose their inheritance. Doesn't mean they can't be saved. I differentiate between salvation and inheritance, and a lot of people use these inheritance verses to say, see, a person can lose their salvation. No, verse 10 says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That is, means to take possession of what is theirs. If I died and my kids would inherit my house, they would take possession of it. There's things in heaven they won't. But no matter which interpretation is right, the fact is God doesn't want men to be effeminate. That we know for a fact is right there in verse 9. God doesn't want men to be soft. He doesn't want men, anything that is pertains to a female, men ought to avoid. Men ought not to have long hair. They ought not to wear earrings. They ought not to wear soft clothes and feminine shoes. Men, remember when we used to wear clogs? Men and women, that unisex movement. It was a unisex movement. That was the word they used back then in the 60s and the 70s. The unisex movement. We're one sex. There's no differentiating between the two. Well, God does differentiate between the two. No soft clothing on men. Men, I want to encourage you to go through your wardrobe. I want you to look perhaps even for colors. I notice some of the colors men are starting to wear are feminine. And ladies, mothers, make your boys masculine. Let's quit making our boys feminine. The last booklet I wrote is entitled, Let's Get in Touch with Our Masculine Side. It's for men. And on the front cover, I've got the word feminine with a big X through it. Because we men have been told, you know, get in touch with your feminine side, get in touch with your feminine side, get in touch with your feminine side. Boy, we've got some feminine men walking around the world today. No, God wants us to get in touch with our masculine side, and I think I wrote 10 chapters in that booklet on what it means. God wants men to be men. God wants men to be leaders. And mothers, quit making sissies out of your boys. Don't make sissies out of them. Let your boys be boys. Let them go out and eat worms and find snakes, and find lizards, and fall out of trees, bust their noses playing football, and have to go for stitches once in a while, break some bones. That's what we need to do. We need to quit coddling over our boys. So help me, I've studied this out. We've got an entire homosexual movement in our country. Because of coddled boys who have been feminized by women where there's often not a father in the picture. And you mark it down, almost every man who becomes homosexual in his behavior is because he either didn't have a father or he didn't have a close relationship with a father. And by the way, fathers, it's time we start making emotional investments in our boys and quit leaving that up just to the women. It's time you start holding your boys, and you start hugging your boys, and you start kissing your boys, and you start loving your boys. But we need to start producing men. We need to teach them how to shake hands. Grab that thing, bust somebody's bones in their hands when they shake hands with somebody else. And we've got to start making some masculine boys and feminine girls. This is what our Lord requires, and He's going to have the last word. It's not the world. It's not what the world thinks, but someday you ladies of this generation are going to stand before a holy God. And God's going to say, send forth the women of the 21st century. Right after He says, send forth the women of the 20th century. Send forth the women of the 19th century. Send forth the women of the 18th century. We need some masculine boys. who are taught to be masculine. And there's nothing wrong with a little boy being required to wear a shirt and a tie to church and to learn how to polish his shoes and to have a military-style haircut and to be taught that you don't touch girls and you don't hurt girls and you protect girls. You know, if I had an audience or you had an audience with the President of the United States, man, I wouldn't even take my suit to the dry cleaner. I'd go out and buy a brand new suit. I'd buy a new shirt, a new tie, and new shoes, and I'd get myself a haircut, and I'd get myself, man, if I had an audience with the President of the United States, man, I would look the best I've ever looked in my life. And brethren, the church is the house of God. There's someone here more important than the President of the United States. And the Bible says when we go to church, we go to the house of God. We go to the house of God. This is the Lord's church. He said, I will build my church. We ought to have more respect for Jesus Christ than we have for President George Bush. And I don't care. I'm sick of the direction other churches are taking. We're not going that way. I don't care if we get smaller and smaller and smaller. We're not going the direction of other churches where pastors walk out on the platform with shorts and sandals on. And say, hey, I'm Brother Art. No, I'm Pastor Cole. We've got to get some respect restored, even if we're the last ones that go that way. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord. There's a difference. So men ought not to wear earrings and makeup and all this other kind of stuff they're doing nowadays, and soft clothing. Let the women wear soft clothing. Let them wear soft clothing. God bless women that wear soft clothing. Get tired of these masculine women out there with flags on the construction crews and so on. And it's just not the way God made them. And I want to say number three, avoid sensuous clothing. Turn to Proverbs 7 and verse 10. Proverbs 7 and verse 10 says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. The Bible says there is such a thing as the attire of a harlot. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. There's the attire of a harlot. I want to encourage us tonight, both men and women, avoid strange clothing. Let's get conservative. Let's get so that we will never, ever offend an unsaved person by the way we look and behave. And I'm not talking, you know, I know you got to go to work and you wear your work clothes and so on and so forth and you get dirty and muddy and sweaty and so on. I understand that. But I'm talking about when we go to church and even around the house, even around the yard and so on. You know, if you're an eye shot of other neighbors, men ought not to be walking around without their shirts on. Without their pants on, or at least shorts down to your past your knees. And that's another thing. How come men's shorts are longer than women's shorts nowadays? What is wrong with us? We ought to avoid soft clothing. Strange clothing, soft clothing. And then number three, avoid sensuous clothing. The Bible says there's such a thing as the attire of a harlot. The attire of an harlot. Now, women, you were made to help men, not hinder them. I know that won't go over very well at a feminist picnic. But you were made to help men and not hinder them. Men are weak. We're told in Proverbs 27:20, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Proverbs 6:25 says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. That's how weak a man can be, that even a woman's eyes can sometimes affect him and reduce him to a piece of bread, the Bible says. Jesus said, whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. 2 Peter 2, verse 14 describes men as having eyes full of adulteries. Men have problems. I got a book down in my office called Every Man's Problem. The title might not be true. There may be some men who really live above this. There are some, Jesus said in Matthew 19, who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. Thank God for those men that can be that spiritual. But most men have problems with the female body. And as a result, God wants it to be covered up. God wants women to dress modestly and to cover up their bodies. I believe pornography proves how much problems man has. I heard a statistic once that 96% of all pornography focuses on female subjects because that's what sells. I was driving down one of the main roads around here, and there was a place selling RVs. RVs. Recreation vehicles. And in the back, there's a picture of four naked women portrayed with a towel across the front of them. What does that have to do with selling RVs? I'll tell you what it has to do. It grabs the attention of a man's eyes. That's what it does. You see women in the attire of a harlot on most television commercials. Every checkout line you go through, whether it's a grocery store, a drugstore, a department store. 99% of all rapes, according to the FBI, the CIA, 99% of all rapes and molestations are instigated by men, which means men have a much more profound weakness in this area. The RAND report, which Pastor Seth gave me, just came out a couple weeks ago, says 750,000 teen girls in our country end up pregnant every single year. Can you imagine that? 750,000. Listen to this. 4 million contract sexually transmitted diseases. They're teenagers. 4 million a year. You know how many of those are girls? About 3 million. They're twice as prone to disease as men are. That's a lot of fornicating going on. I ask you this question, what is stimulating that? And I submit to you, it's the way they're allowed to dress. I think what we ought to do is take all the fathers of these girls and give them a good whipping. Because a rod is for a fool's back, the Bible says. And any man that lets his daughter go out dressed in a halter top where she's showing her midriff and showing her cleavage and dressed in shorts where she's showing her thighs and her legs and so on, I think the father ought to be found and beaten for being that way. It's not the girl's fault. She's completely ignorant. She's just following the crowd dressed in the attire of a harlot. And what's with all these earrings and all this makeup? What's with all these tattoos on women? In sensuous places, branding them. Why are women letting Satan have his way with them? With them. I don't know why. But boy, he's having a heyday with this generation of women. And he's been having a time for the last 4 decades. And Satan has taken women on a long journey away from God and God's Word. I just got a couple more scriptures here and I'm done. But I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We see women dressed in the attire of a harlot as teenagers. We see them dressed in the attire of a harlot as cheerleaders. There are no cheerleaders anymore. They're just exotic dancers. We see women dressed in the attire of a harlot in the magazines at the checkout counters and the beer commercials and almost any other kind of commercial there is. Now we see the devastating results, the consequences of all the girls who end up pregnant or diseased, some of them incurably, that they'll carry the rest of their life. Now you say, why? Because they have fornicated, that's why. They fornicated with men. Right about here, a lady says, well, men ought to control their eyes. Men ought to control themselves. I agree. And every single man that ever gets a teen girl pregnant ought to be forced to support her for the rest of the time she's raising that child. And if that child is under, help me, Joe, 18, 16, that man ought to be charged with statutory rape, 16 years of age. He ought to be found and charged with statutory rape, put away in prison. So I believe the man ought to be responsible. Ought to be responsible. Well, let me illustrate. If you were out to the America's Fair, Hamburg Fair, and on your way in, a bunch of police officers said, "Now, sir, ma'am, we want you to understand that the church is just filled with pickpockets today." Or the church, not the church. The fair is just filled with pickpockets today. And so some guy or some lady says, "Oh, okay, I understand." And they take out their wallet, their purse or something, and they get a wad of $5 bills, $100 worth, and they stick it in their pocket so that a bunch of it's showing. So they got $100 in their pocket and $5 bills wadded up and half of it's showing. During the course of the day, somebody bumps into the dear lady or dear man and says, "Oh, excuse me," and they go on with their day, and he looks down there, and she looks down and says, "Hey, my money's gone. That guy took my money." And he's bolting for the gate, and the policemen tackle him and charge him. Should that pickpocket be charged with stealing that money? Absolutely. Absolutely. But could that particular incident have been avoided? You get the point? Ladies, you can't control the lusts of men. But it's possible to live in such a way that you'll never cause an incident. And I've seen women, we've got women in our church, some of you are like this, that you dress so modestly and so godly and in a feminine way that you're not a problem to men. In fact, you know what men do towards you? They respect you. Did you know men respect modestly dressed women? But did you know they lose respect for immodestly dressed women? And they just become objects of desire. They don't even become human, I'm telling you. They don't even become human anymore in their minds. Just objects of desire. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works." Now you can compare 1 Peter... And you'll see that when it talks about jewelry and hair, that is to be in moderation. But there's a couple words here that I want to close, ladies, and it's the words modest apparel. The word modest comes from the Greek word kosmios. That's the word that's used to describe the order of everything. How God has everything in perfect order, the earth, the moon, the planets, and so on and so forth. It means of good behavior, well arranged, orderly, seemly. That's what the word modest means. You ought not to dress sloppy. You ought not to be a slob. Well, there's some ladies out there wearing sensuous clothing, and some of the girls nowadays, God help them. You see them walking around, especially the teen girls, man, they're just sloppy. So help me, they got little halter tops on with their bra straps exposed. Some literally got sweatpants on with their underwear exposed. I'm telling you the truth, and every one of you knows I'm telling you the truth tonight. That's not modest. That's not what God wants for women. There ought to be an orderly arrangement to your clothes. It means decorous. It refers to decoration, elegance, classy and colorful, regal and royal. Did you know men are distracted by colors? It's a fact. They're distracted by colorful clothes. And that's the idea. Distract them from sensuality. When a woman has modest, orderly, colorful clothes on, a man is distracted from her body, and his attention then is now on her clothes. I know I've gone here a long time tonight, but this is something on my heart. I'm almost done. I said that before. I say it often. Listen, Psalm 45 and verse 13 says, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework." It talks about, you've seen royalty in the proper sense, the girls, the women, and princesses and queens, and how orderly their dresses, how colorful their dresses, and it's just precision. It's expensive clothing, not costly array, but it's in the sense of denoting that they're regal, they're royal. Psalm 144:12 says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I want polished daughters after the similitude of a palace. You've seen palaces before. Everything is in order. Everything's perfect. Everything looks wonderful. These are the descriptions God uses. And then the last word is the word apparel. We've talked to what modest means. The last word is apparel. It comes from catastole, whatever however they pronounce that. But this word right here, ladies, 1 Timothy 2:9, that word apparel means loose and flowing. Loose and flowing. How can you possibly justify walking around in a skin-tight pair of shorts? That's not loose and flowing, or a skin-tight pair of pants. How can you say that's loose and flowing? These things are in the Bible for a purpose. Now, I know as soon as you start tampering with a woman's clothes, immediately you become her enemy. I'm not trying to be your enemy. As a pastor, I'm trying to prepare you for a better resurrection. Because I believe someday you're going to stand before God as women, as men, as families. I didn't let my girls wear pants. I didn't let them wear shorts. I didn't let them wear halter tops, so on and so forth. Whether they liked it or not, I didn't care. I didn't let my wife dress that way. Why? Because I believe there's coming a day when I'm going to hear Art Cole, and I'm going to say, "Yes, Lord, give an account for your family." Right about then, I'm not going to care what the world accepted or what the world said was right or wrong. I've given you a lot to think about tonight. I want to encourage you. I know clothing is a very, very personal thing. And appearance is a very, very personal thing. That's why cosmetic companies make billions and billions and billions of dollars on it. That's why when you go to Rite Aid, like I did the other day, they have row after row after row after row of beauty products for women. Because it's so personal. And then I dare stand up and say, God has something to say about this. We're having a bonfire next Sunday night. We need to go through our CDs and burn a bunch of them. We need to go through our books and burn a bunch of them. We need to go through our bags and burn a bunch of them. And we need to go through our movies, videos, and CDs and burn a bunch of them. We've never had one of these yet before, and I know Satan's going to oppose this. But we need to go through our apparel. And some men need to bring some soft clothing and brown bags. And some women need to bring some sensuous clothing. I don't think a believer in Jesus Christ, a lady, ought to own a halter top or a pair of shorts. Things like that ought to be burned. Now, I know there's a place, the Bible says the bed is undefiled. I know there's a place for that in marriage. But we're not going to have fellowship around that bonfire next Sunday night. We're going to stay away from the fire. And one by one, we're going to let people approach that fire with their bag and throw their bag in until it's burned, so nobody's spying on it. And then walk away. And the next person, walk away. Next person, walk away. I think our God would be happy if we made our homes and our church a little holier. More biblical. We're not going to have an invitation tonight. We're going to go home. The invitation is next Sunday night. Maybe some jewelry. Some satanic jewelry needs to be thrown in the fire. That's what they did in Bible days. They didn't care what people thought. They just dealt with some things. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. Thank you. Thank you for listening for so long tonight. The Bible's clear. We ought to avoid strange clothing. This world is getting bizarre, and I believe it's exposing our rebellion against God in our country. That's why we see so much strange clothing. Both men and women wearing strange clothing. I want you just to stare at yourself in the mirror this week and just say, is my hair strange? Is my jewelry strange? Is this shirt strange? Is this blouse strange? Men, are these pants strange? Man, I've seen men with pants on so low, their rear end's sticking out. No strange clothes. What about soft clothing, men? Men are getting more and more feminine. Men are selling makeup for men now, and all kinds of cosmetic, age-defying products. God says an effeminate man is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We need to pursue masculinity. And then for the ladies, avoid sensuous clothing. Avoid sensuous clothing. Around the house, what kind of a signal are we sending out to the children around the yard when the neighbors see us, when we go to the store? Oh, but I just want to be comfortable. Well, I think God's more concerned about our holiness than our comfort. Father, help us. Help us as a church. Lord, I felt impressed since June to preach this sermon. Lord, I believe that our standards of dress in this church are higher than most churches. But Lord, sometimes we just need to go back to your word and examine ourselves in the light of your word, not in the light of what other churches are doing. We're not supposed to compare ourselves one with another. That's not wise. Help us, Lord. And I know many won't participate, but I pray that some here tonight would say, I'm going to make a change to the glory of God the Father. Help us, Lord, we pray. And other heads are bowed.